KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, lots of fishy things are happening in Juneau as the state legislature nears the halfway point of its 90-day session. Also, a surprising number of chum salmon from southeast are turning up as trawl bycatch in the Gulf and Bering Sea, but not nearly as many as from the other side of the international dateline. All that and more coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Despite hearing requests from Bristol Bay shareholders to limit the catch of bay-bound fish swimming through Alaska Peninsula waters, the Alaska Board of Fisheries declined to do so, largely maintaining the status quo, and even added a little more fishing opportunity for Area M. The seven-member board sets policy and makes allocative decisions for Alaska fisheries. In late February, it was tasked with considering 59 proposals suggesting changes to Alaska Peninsula, Aleutian Island, and Chinook fin fisheries during a week-long meeting in Anchorage. Many of the proposals pitted fishermen from Area M and Bristol Bay, or Area T, against each other, continuing years of disagreement over who's catching whose fish. KDLG's Molly Dishner has more.
During public testimony, dozens of Bristol Bay residents asked the board to adopt regulations that would cut back on the amount of Bristol Bay-bound sockeye caught in Area M, including Gusty Wassily Jr.
I strongly feel Area T Bristol Bay stocks should be controlled by Area T fishermen, not Area M. Bristol Bay fishermen should benefit from Bristol Bay stocks. I support Proposal 155 to close the outer Port Hyden section because of interception of Bristol Bay stocks.
That proposal, 155, failed in a 3-4 vote. That was one of the most contentious proposals and one of just a few split votes at the meeting. Board Chair Tom Kluberton was among the majority four who opposed closing the outer Port Hyden area, noting that fisheries all across Alaska intercept fish from other areas.
Salmon in transit are feeding, they're moving through, they're available for fisheries. We have protections in place for the various stocks that are in transit. We need to always consider the economic value to the state and the local economies. These fish, wherever they're caught, are benefiting economies, borough economies, city economies.
Another proposal would have directed managers to consider escapements of non-local stocks when deciding when to allow fishing in the Northern District. Dillingham's Fritz Johnson was the sole yes vote on that one.
Perhaps the complexities of the way this is written now would make it impossible to really enact, but I think it's worth at least putting on the record that it may be a good idea to look at, you know, our systems holistically. And sometimes I think our management is segregated or siloed, if you will.
Johnson was also the sole yes vote on another similar proposal. Other efforts to limit Bristol Bay sockeye catches in other areas were unsuccessful. The native village of Port Hyden had asked the board to consider moving the fishery near Port Hyden out of the Alaska Peninsula management area and into the Bristol Bay management area. That failed 2-4. Johnson was conflicted out of voting on that proposal because he's a Bristol Bay drift permit holder. During a week of at times heated deliberations, the board tended toward the status quo. Of the 59 proposals up for consideration, just a handful passed. Two of those, though, were submitted by concerned Area M fishermen. Area M fisherman Brad Barr, a member of CAMF, testified in support of Proposal 159, which will reopen the part of the outer Port Hyden section that was closed by the board in 2013.
OPH catch has averaged 500,000 since it opened in 07, and this is supposed to be a problem. Bristol Bay sockeye have migrated and been caught commercially along the Alaska Peninsula for over 100 years, and the Area M fishermen have the right to fish our waters and our river systems.
That passed 5-2. The board also agreed to repeal sequential closures of the Bear River, Three Hills, and Ilnik sections, which that same group had requested, but not until 2019. In Dillingham, I'm Molly Dishner.
Speaking of whose fish are whose, a new genetic stock analysis of prohibited chum salmon bycatch in the Bering Sea walleye pollock and Gulf of Alaska groundfish trawl fisheries has been published by the Alaska Fisheries Science Center. For the first time, the Gulf ground fish fisheries were sampled, and the vast majority of chum salmon were traced back to the Eastern Gulf and Pacific Northwest stocks. And by vast, they mean 92%. The sample size was 273 fish. In the Bering Sea, less than 21% of the chum salmon were found to hail from western Alaska waters. The most, 37%, belonged to stock from Northeast Asia, the Siberia area. Those Southeast and Pacific Northwest chum are well-traveled, as 24% of the bycatch in the Bering Sea midwater pollock trawl fishery came from there. Southeast Asia, China, Japan, and the vicinity were the spawning grounds for the remaining 19% of the bycatch. The Bering Sea sample size was 1,741, which was one fish sample collected for every 30 chum salmon caught as bycatch. The 50-page report and an abstract is available on the NOAA.gov website.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their family. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
Well, unless you count pull tabs, there's not much in the way of organized wagering in the state of Alaska. There is the Nenana Ice Classic, which during the past 100 years or so, Alaskans could guess the time the ice goes out on the Tanana River. But in the Alaska legislature, District 35 House Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins of Sitka is proposing a similar guessing game for another Alaska rite of spring, herring spawn in Sitka Sound. House Bill 294, the Herring Spawn Classic, will have participants guessing the number of nautical miles of shoreline that the herrings spawn on to the nearest tenth of a mile. The closest to the actual number of nautical miles of spawn, as calculated by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, will receive 50% of the proceeds from the gaming revenue before expenses. The Classic will be administered and operated by the Sitka Tribe of Alaska, which will use its half of the proceeds for social service programs, educational activities, and student scholarships. The bill is currently in the House Resources Committee. The budget process continues in Juneau. Wednesday, a House subcommittee proposed cuts for the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute and revamping how the organization is funded.
And it's the intent of the legislature that the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute develops a plan to phase out reliance on the unrestricted general funds for seafood marketing by FY 2019 and continue marketing on industry contributions.
That's committee aide Jenna Krause reading the language the committee wants included in the budget this year. ASME has long been a public-private partnership between the state of Alaska and the seafood industry that works to market Alaska seafood domestically and abroad. About half of the funding comes from a tax on fish landed in Alaska. Much of the rest comes from state and federal sources. The subcommittee's proposal would cut $1 million from ASME's budget next year.
The subcommittee recommends a decrement in funding in Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute activities equivalent to a 30% of the UGF, bringing the total for the seafood marketing to $2,399,900.
That proposal is still far from a done deal. The proposal now goes to the House Finance Committee, and eventually the Senate will take its own stab at the budget. The subcommittee also asked for a study looking at increasing the industry's contribution. The sponsor of a bill to charge a royalty on all commercially caught seafood in Alaska says he doesn't intend to try and move the bill and instead introduced it to start up a discussion. Senate Bill 198 was introduced February 22nd by Wasilla Republican Senator Mike Dunleavy and referred to the Resources Committee. It would charge a new 12.5% royalty on seafood caught in the state.
We just want to mimic the oil royalties and have those royalties go into the permanent fund for the people of Alaska. But long story short, the idea was to start a conversation as to could there be additional revenue in the forms of royalties brought into the state of Alaska? Should we put those royalties into the permanent fund if it were to happen? Is 12.5% reasonable? Is it not? What would be reasonable? What would not? Just to get this conversation going.
The state already charges royalties on both the mining and the oil and gas industries for the right to extract Alaska's resources. Dunleavy says he has not asked for a hearing in the Resources Committee and is not working on pushing the bill this session. If there's time after the legislature gets through its immediate focus on passing a budget, Dunleavy says he could seek a hearing. He says the proposal could possibly resurface next year. Petersburg Vessel Owners Association Executive Director Megan O'Neill says the proposed royalty would have a huge impact.
If you have a fishing vessel that has four crew members, 12.5% is kind of the average crew share, so it's like taking an extra crew share off the top.
In recent years, the total value of Alaska commercial seafood catch dockside before it's sent to market has been around $2 billion. 12.5% of that is about $250 million.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you by Commercial Fishermen for Bristol Bay, permit holders and fishing groups standing together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region.
Sea cucumber fishery permit holders will decide this summer whether to reduce their self-imposed tax from 5% of the ex-vessel value down to 3%. KRBD's Layla Carey tells us more.
The lengthy election process opens on March 1st and lasts through June 6th. Southeast Alaska Regional Dive Fisheries Association Executive Director Phil Doherty says the election is conducted by mail, and he's about to get the first round of ballots out.
And they're all sitting here on my table, and I'm going to have to start stuffing them here pretty soon.
The ballots will go to all 256 sea cucumber permit holders, whether or not they actively fish. They have 30 days to respond by mail. In mid-April, Doherty will host a public meeting to explain the proposed tax change and answer any questions.
Because this is important to the association. It doesn't happen very often. I think the last assessment change happened back in about 2000. So it's been a long time since we've gone through this process.
Revenue from the tax goes to the State Department of Fish and Game to help fund management of the fishery. Doherty says it's a unique arrangement, but it's worked well so far. He says the argument in favor of reducing the tax is that there's plenty socked away in reserves.
So we have enough money in the bank right now that the fishermen feel that they can lower their tax and still do everything that they need to do in terms of running the association and getting enough money back to the state to do what the state needs to do to manage the fisheries.
Doherty estimates that the sea cucumber dive fishery has an annual ex-vessel value of about $8 million. To pass, he says the proposed tax change will need approval by a majority of all permit holders, not merely a majority of those who return their ballots. So not returning a ballot would be the equivalent of a no vote. With 256 permit holders, that means at least 129 must vote yes. Doherty says the association should have election results counted and sent for certification by the end of June. If approved, the new tax would be in place before the October opening for sea cucumbers. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. Thanks to KMXT's Kayla DeRoche for sitting in while I was off work. We had contributions this week from KDLG's Molly Dishner in Dillingham, KFSK's Joe Vicknicki in Petersburg, and KRBD's Layla Carey in Ketchikan. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.